Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addisk, bringing you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Wednesday, July 30th, 2014. Good afternoon, Al.
Hello, Melody.
Well, it was an interesting day in the markets today, and amazing numbers coming out of government numbers for the GDP numbers and the Federal Reserve coming out and stating their little numbers and to see the type of impacts they had on the markets, virtually nothing. But we'll talk about that in the second segment of the program because we do have Wendy Wilson joining us today from the Apothecary Herbs. But first, let's get to the market numbers today. We have gold down $3.20 today at $1,296.60. Silver's up 7 at $20.73. Platinum was down 2 at $14.82, along with palladium up a dollar at $882. You have the USDX today trading stronger, as no doubt that it shouldn't, at 0.21, or wouldn't, I should say, at 81.42. Crude oil took a big hit today, down 1.29 at 99.68, breaking down through 100. And I guess there's no oil worries anywhere in the world. I guess all these conflicts that we're having, most likely over oil, are just little blurps in the daily routine as people continue to lose their lives. But hey, crude oil's down, kind of goes puzzles, scratches your head, kind of like the gold prices that we see when they should be significantly higher. And the paper markets today, let's get to the paper markets, if I may. Oh, you're not going to believe this.
Would you like me to read some of the paper markets?
You're not going to believe this.
I'll believe it. I promise. I promise not to laugh or criticize or anything. I'm going
to
believe
I went to click on my market report on the papers, and I've got something that's attached to my little arrow, and I can't get rid of it. So, yes, go ahead while I work
on
that.
All right, the Dow Jones is down 29 points to 16,883. NASDAQ is up 22 points to 4,465. New York Stock Exchange is down 4 points to 10,932. U.S. dollar index, you already mentioned, it's up. And crude oil, we mentioned that. So I think that's pretty much the paper markets that I have access to. I'm not sure that's all you want to refer to, but
the main markets.
What you got, you understand? You got that little mouse problem.
Yeah,
got a problem with the mouse. Got a problem with the co-host. Check your horoscope. This may be one of those days that maybe it was a good idea.
I certainly won't buy a lottery ticket today. No, I will not go there. But while we bring on Wendy Wilson, and you guys can have the first segment on the program, I'm going to try and detach my little arrow, my mouse, from something.
Maybe it's Cupid's arrow. Maybe the mouse has fallen in love. Do you think about that?
No, it's
Valentine's Day? When is Valentine's Day? This isn't a mouse Valentine's Day, is it?
Technology stinks. Anyway, we got Wendy Wilson joining us from the Apothecary Herbs. Good afternoon, Wendy.
Good afternoon, Melody, and hello, Al. How you doing?
Just fine. How are you? I think I know what you talk about, and let me give the audience a little bit of an introduction. Here's an article from Conservative Bite. It says, if Ebola hits U.S., even healthy Americans will be quarantined. That's the headline. If Ebola comes here, it's going to be mass panic, with concerns growing over the deadly Ebola virus, which has killed 670 people in West Africa. Preparations are already underway in the United States, where even healthy Americans will be subjected to forced quarantine in the event of an Ebola panic. They go on and point out that Doctors Without Borders say the situation in Africa is out of control. Defense Department deployed biological diagnostic systems to the National Guard in April of this year, indicating they were already anticipating the possibility of a problem with Ebola. And the Centers for Disease Control has procedures in place to deal with an Ebola outbreak backed by the force of law. And the point is a lot of people are taking this possible Ebola outbreak in the United States, it's only in West Africa right now, but the possibility of reaching the United States is there. People are taking this very seriously, and I believe that's what you want to talk about today.
Oh, absolutely. We're gonna hit this. I mean, because I've been seeing it in the news, and people are really concerned, and rightly so. I'm not too worried. I got herbs. I know what to do with herbs, and I also got the Lord in Psalms 91, so I'm not too worried about this. But for those of you out there that want to know what could be done, well, that's what we're going to talk about. Because bacteria, Al and Melody, is adapting to survive. So it's spreading in populations where people have weak immune systems. So bacteria is lurking everywhere, your foods, your soil, your air, your water. So it's easy to catch some of these pathogens, especially if your immune system's not up to the task. And, of course, you already know that pharmaceutical companies are not developing new antibiotics to treat these pathogens. And I say that may be a good thing. Because at what point do we stop promoting the mutation of bacteria through drugs, right, Al?
I guess what actually happens, the way I understand it, is you expose a million bacteria to a particular antibacterial agent, and perhaps it kills 999,000 of that million bacteria. There's still 1,000 that survive by, who knows, dumb luck, or they're already equipped with internal mechanisms to stop the immune. Their immune systems resist the antibacterial agent, and then they propagate.
Well,
and they
become
dominant.
If you're using antibiotics to deal with bacteria, that's exactly what happens. But if you want lifelong immunity, what you want to do is support your immune system to deal with it, and that's what we're going to talk about. Because your immune system is very much equipped to deal with a lot of these things. Our problem is we've got generation after generation now that have pretty much immune systems that are in the wheelchair. Your vaccines, your antibiotics, and all these other drugs have really weakened the liver and the immune system, so we're kind of having to, hit the ground running, so to speak. So, let me just give you an idea why antibiotics are limited against some of these really deadly pathogens. One reason is that the bacteria is able to adapt to the antibiotics because the antibiotics just have one isolated chemical component. So the bacteria can adapt to either mimic that component in order to evade the drug, or the bacteria can make its own antidote to that antibiotic. So modern medicine just says, oh, well, they're mutating bacteria. But bacteria can develop resisting microbes within as short a time as 3 months. So when you send in a one-dimensional antibiotic to destroy a bacterial pathogen, it's kind of like cracking a code that's only comprised of one or two digits. Not a problem for adapting bacteria. So what we need is more complex antibacterial agents. So that's what we're going to talk about. How do we get that? How do we get some antibacterial agents that can crack the code to these pathogens and resist the pathogens in its entirety? So logic would suggest that we need more complex opponents, which can easily identify and defend against the bacteria. So do you suppose we have any of these counter components in herbs, Al?
I'm gonna stick my neck out here and say yes. I'll bet we do.
We do. We do have some bacterial fighting herbs that are very complex. They have very complex properties, not so easily identified that the bacteria can make an antidote for it. So herbs contain very complex bacterial fighting components that go way beyond the antibiotic. So while the elite have expensive doctors and fancy tools and off-the-wall treatments, guess what the poor had, Al? They had garlic. That was the poor man's antibiotic. So the poor also had to deal with sanitary problems and malnutrition, overcrowding, as well as all this bacterial stuff. But however, a lot of them survived their illnesses just using garlic, because garlic's very broad spectrum in its compounds, and it works against viruses, bacteria, parasites. So if you had to compare the defensive action of garlic to, let's say, an antibiotic, it would be like a penicillin almost. Okay.
All right.
And so some people, and it's very effective.
Are we talking about raw garlic, or are we talking
about cooked?
Yeah.
Okay. Yep, it's one of those questions people ask. It's very effective against foodborne pathogens. It's very effective against staph, strep, salmonella, E. coli, and I would suspect Ebola as well. So in my opinion, it's not whether to use garlic, but in what form to use it. Some people say, let's just use the tablets and pills. Just remember, it takes time to digest that, so you're going to lose precious moments, I think. If you're eating raw cloves of garlic, you could do that. But you're going to have to, like, eat 6 to 8 cloves, and a lot of times that's nauseating to people. So I prefer the garlic liquids, the cold-pressed concentrates. You can hide it in juice or water, and you can take as much or as little as you need to. So, be aware, if you're on anticoagulants, be aware if you're taking medicinal amounts of garlic, it does thin the blood, so FYI.
Let me ask you this.
Uh-huh.
Some of the garlic supplements are available, and they have been deodorized.
No, you don't want those.
Well, that was my question. Is that going to diminish the potency of the product, or
right,
is it only diminish the smell?
No, the allicin is the aroma of the herb, basically, and that's your medicinal compound that works, that helps the immune system out, helps sweep bacteria from the system. So if you have a deodorized garlic, you don't have any power. Also, I would stay away from hybrids and elephant garlic and go with just your standard organic garlic. It's going to be just as potent as you need it to be. I also like to layer the garlic in with some onion, because that's cousin to the garlic, and it has some really powerful antiseptic compounds. It also has lots of vitamin A and C and high amounts of potassium and magnesium, and that's important because those nutrients are essential to protect your cells from being invaded by more bacteria, and also helps to move fluids out of the system to cleanse away the infection. So it also helps with mucus and phlegm. So if you get any things like that, it's really good at breaking that up. And a lot of people also say, I'm just going to take colloidal silver, and that colloidal silver may work. But you also want to boost immune system at the same time. So if you're using colloidal silver, that's great. Take it separate from your herbs, though. Now, I like to get to the echinacea issue. Echinacea is king at helping your human immune system, Al, produce more killer T cells to defeat these pathogens, these bacteria. So I like to use fresh echinacea root. It'll be the most powerful. But if you don't have that, dried root is still an impressive herb to have. It has lots of punch. So also, I would use it in a tincture, an extract form, because you can adjust dose for kids and pets really easily. And you can pair it up with your echinacea and with some other bacterial fighting powerful herbs we're going to mention. And it's also great for tuberculosis. Okay.
You mentioned now, echinacea. You'd like to? Do you like? You prefer the fresh? Do you grow your own?
No, but that you can only harvest it like in the fall. And so, if what I do is I order pounds of the fresh root, and then I'll tincture that, and I'll have it for all year to use as, at my discretion. And because what happens is in the fall, all the nutrients from the rest of the plant revert back to the roots, so all your power's there.
I see.
So that's what you want. Now, thyme is also overlooked by a lot of people, T-H-Y-M-E. It does have powerful oils that kill bacteria and even parasites. And if you're going to use it in a liquid. Use 1 teaspoon. That's what I would use. It also fights whooping cough if you have that problem. It's an excellent herb. It has some component that attacks whooping cough pathogens, so use that.
Right.
Do I have more time? I got a couple of more to mention.
Yeah, we've got a couple more minutes. We've got about 3 minutes to go. What about oregano? They sell an oil of oregano. Is that helpful to the immune system, or is it?
Yeah, you can use
second
the oil.
Class?
You can pair it up with the thyme. It's the oils in the oregano that are very good at antibacterial agents. I don't. There's so many companies selling it, and I like. There's like 8 different varieties just here in the United States. So usually the European variety is going to be a bit more potent, though. So I don't personally sell oregano oil, but I know a lot of people use it. One thing that people might want to remember is when you have pathogens, they're really creating a lot of inflammation and irritants in the body. So you might want to power up a little marshmallow root to kind of soothe everything down. Also, ginseng is nice as a herb to power up with a synergistic effect all your other herbs you're using. So it kind of just hyperdrives everything. So don't overlook that. Ginger root is another one to layer in because it has bacterial fighting components, but it's also what herbalists call the carrier herb. So it will distribute the powerful antibiotic, pathogen fighting kind of essential activities of the herbs through the body quickly, and it will even penetrate the smallest of capillaries so the bacteria can't hide out. Some people will use cayenne, which is great. It'll do the same thing, but it's hotter than ginger root, and some people don't like the real hot, especially little kids, so you can layer in the ginger root as well. And here is another one that I need to mention is peppermint leaf. It has an analgesic effect, so it removes pain and swelling and inflammation. It also has some really powerful pathogens to fight or characteristics to fight the bacterial pathogens, and it will kill cholera. So cholera is an issue, too, for a lot of people out there in other countries. So peppermint's essential for that. So and use aggressive doses. So if you get these really bacterial components that, you know, no antibiotic can touch, you know, use aggressive doses on your natural stuff. I personally would use instead of the 1/4 teaspoon, which is a normal adult dose, I'd use a full teaspoon, and I'd take it every 2 hours. That's what I would do. So helping the immune system block the bacteria's ability to spread is also going to help your immune system kill the pathogen. So the body's going to act quickly, and it's going to need to tap into the power of these herbs to help manufacture antibodies. And that's going to be your lifelong protection right there, is when your body's able to defeat this.
Why don't you give folks a little contact information, Wendy? And
sure. Well, they can call us for a free product catalog or jump on our website to order products. They're all up there, the peppermint, the ginseng, and garlic, all of it. The toll-free number is 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. And, of course, the website is thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com. And thanks, Al. Thanks, Melanie. We'll talk to you later.
That's Wendy Wilson, folks, from thepowerherbs.com. Visit her on the website. Call her up if you're interested in placing an order. We're going to move on to some commercial announcements, and Melody and I will be right back. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family. American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Adisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Programs brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. For all your gold and silver coin needs, what's next, Melody?
Well, we're running the silver special today. It's going to be a three-day special, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and it's going to be a 3 silver products. 1 ounce silver eagles, 20 of those, 20 pre-1921 Morgan silver dollars, and of course 90% quarters, $28 face value, and the price including shipping, plus you get a free silver eagle with this silver special, is $1,567. So an easy number to remember, 1567. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. These are my favorite silver products, I guess, to own. You have the 1 ounce silver eagle, 1 ounce pure silver, modern issue. You have the pre-1921. You have a lot of dates. Most of your dates will be in the 1800s, 1870s, 1880s, 1890s of the Morgan silver dollars. And, of course, the quarters, the 90% quarters, they're great to have in case of an extreme emergency. Not only are you buying your silver at about a dollar over spot, but in a case of an extreme emergency, you can take the item to the store and they're still spendable. Do you want to do that? No, I'm talking extreme emergency. So a great little package, 1567, 3 days, 3 silver products, 1-800-375-4188. And as my computer is cooperating, today, Al, we were told that the U.S. economy has rebounded with vigor from the grim
start. Is it rebounding from the bottom coming up or from the top going down?
Well, that remains to be seen. It just depends on how you view things. Mm-hmm. But the government estimated that the economy grew at a fast 4% annual rate in the April-June quarter. You have consumers and businesses and governments all joined in to fuel the second quarter expansion. And they said that the growth was more robust than last year, than it had previously estimated. And so now the big question was, when they came out this morning, the big question was, what would the Federal Reserve say when they came out with their announcements this afternoon? Would they mention anything about the raising the interest rates a little bit sooner than expected with these great numbers as far as the economy? And I did go back in the second quarter months, April, May, and June, and I pulled up some retail. I tried to look up some retail numbers as far as how those numbers were doing, and they were not stellar numbers for retail. And when you look at the American economy is based on consumer spending, you would think that we would have a little bit better retail numbers in order to have this sort of GDP number, but not there, folks. We're not sure. Maybe they reported the numbers from Colorado or Washington where they have a little bit something stronger to smoke. We don't know, but we do have the Federal Reserve. They came out and they said they are further slowing the pace of its bond purchases. This isn't no big surprise by another $10 billion. And but they were not clear as far as when they would start raising its benchmark short-term interest rate. They plan to keep the rates low for a considerable time after its bond purchases end. And I assure you, if they don't raise rates and they have to keep it lower for a considerable time, that's pretty much what Wall Street was looking for. Things didn't react. I think the big reactions might come tomorrow. And I saw there was an Associated Press, Sal, that showed the Fed how they viewed three areas, the job market, inflation, and the economy from last month compared to this month. And it was really kind of interesting because it's almost word for word. It's just identical. And it's like, well, why do we need to have these two-day meetings from the Federal Reserve when they pretty much say the same thing as they said the month before? So very little change from month to month. And the inflation was probably the biggest change, where they saw that it was running persistently lower than 2%. And that is some concern in the future. So they need to get that bumped up. And that was pretty much employment claims. We get the big employment numbers coming out Friday. That might have a big impact on the markets. But I expected gold with those types of numbers today to drop significantly. And I was really pleased in which gold held up. Yes, we did see it below 1300. But on the other hand, you still have silver, platinum, and palladium up stronger on the day. And you might expect to see that in gold also tomorrow. So, again, I'm pleased that if they were going to hit gold, they could have hit gold $30 today, and they didn't. So,
well, the day's not over, but you got tomorrow and whatever. I understand that. I think that the weight of the movement in prices for precious metals, I think everybody can kind of sense that the tide has shifted. Mm-hmm. And although there has not yet been a dramatic shift, the tide is not necessarily going out to the extent that it was in the past. And it is now, it's at least stable, and we're waiting for it to shift where it starts coming in. Part of the reason for that, we've got an article here from Market Watch. And it talks about the headline is, as London's silver benchmark to end, gold may be next. Now, these are important concepts. These are important events. They're not clearly understood. And there's been an article that's came out just today where the London, what was it? the ISDA, the International Swap and Derivatives Association, if I recall the name correctly, they're warning. Well, no, not even warning. They have proposed an amendment to all of the silver derivatives contracts that are out there right now. Right? And the amendment is these silver derivatives documents, they specify that on a certain date, if the price of silver is above a certain price or if it's below a certain price, somebody's got to pay somebody some money. That's essentially what the derivatives are. They are kind of insurance policy in a sense. Well, they project into the future and they say, if on September 17th, the price of silver is above X, you got to pay me some money. Another derivative might say, if it's below Y, you got to pay me some money. But who do we rely on to determine what the X and the Y might be? And what it's been up until now is the London Silver Fix. And this was the reference, this was the barometer, this was the thermometer, that this was the one that set the price that the derivatives were referenced to. And here's the problem. The London Silver Fix is going to cease to exist at the close of business on the 14th of August. A little over 2 weeks from now. All right? They have proposed that a new and improved entity called the London Silver Price, not the London Silver Fix, a new entity called London Silver Price, be used as reference to determine price for the pre-existing contracts for derivatives. Now, here's the problem with that. This is a voluntary situation. Again, International Swap and Derivatives Association, they're suggesting, here's what you do. And they've got paperwork out, and I've read it, and it's a legal contract, and it's definitions, and it's not... It takes some time and effort to make sure to be confident that I understand, for me to be confident that I understand what's being written. But this much seems apparent. It's optional. And the reason is, if I signed a contract with Melody back 2 months ago, 90 days ago, whenever, and I said, if the price of silver is over $21 an ounce on August 30th of this year, then Melody owes me $1,000. Well, if that price was to be set, and it's in the contract, and it references the London Silver Fix, but the London Silver Fix no longer exists, what price applies to our agreement? Now, the International Swap and Derivatives Association is saying, here's what you can do. You can just amend by mutual agreement, both sides. Melody and I have to agree. We have to agree, and then if we both agree, we can amend our previous agreement, and instead of having the price determined by the London Silver Fix, which is going to cease to exist on August 14th, the price will be determined by this new entity called the London Silver Price, which will start on August 15th, presumably. What if Melody says no? She doesn't agree to it. What if she knows that based on the agreement I'm going to get, she's going to owe me $1,000? And she says, I don't want to pay Al $1,000. So she says she's not going to agree to this change in price. Who can force her to do so? The price is set in the contract. If there's no proviso for the destruction of the London Silver Fix when the contract was written, and who expected that? It's been there for a century or more. Thought that thing would be here forever. Turns out it's going to disappear. If there's no proviso for replacement, what is the value of this derivative? What is the value of this contract if it's referenced to a pricing entity that no longer exists? This is a very confusing and hard to understand situation, but it's certain that when the time comes to close, to settle these derivative accounts if the price is over, price is under, certain price at a certain date, one side's going to win and one side's going to lose. And if one side is going to lose, and as soon as it becomes clear that they're going to lose, they might just say, no, I'm not going to amend this contract. The price is set according to our contract. This is according to the London Silver Fix. And if they're not here anymore, well, contract's invalid. Now, I don't know that that's going to happen. This is a complex legal issue, but there is a high probability that it could happen. And if it does, it's going to be Katie bar the door in terms of what will the price of silver be starting August 15th. If these people, these derivatives, if they just sit back and say, no, I don't agree to it. I don't agree to the London silver price. I only agreed to the London silver fix. If it doesn't exist anymore, the contract is dead. I don't have to pay off. What if they do that? What's that going to do to the derivatives market, at least the silver derivatives market? And what's it going to do to the price of silver, Melody? Do you have any idea?
No, I don't. But I also know that these changes with these banks, they wouldn't do something in order to, shoot themselves in the foot either. So I would think that there is probably some sort of they probably have some sort of a strategy in place. However, doesn't mean that this will go off without a hitch. And, I mean, this certainly could be a way in which these banks could unravel all their short positions. And so you always have to think it's benefiting them.
Yeah,
and not
maybe.
Us.
But it's going to be a disadvantage for someone. I don't care how you figure it. Somebody's going to lose money on this deal. I mean, that option, if somebody is going to gain, they're going to avoid losing money on the shorts, then someone else is going to forfeit their ability to make money on the shorts. This is going to be a very strange situation, and it's unfolding. I don't think any of it's clear. It'll take a while, perhaps, for this information to be digested, and over the course of the next couple of days, we'll probably hear more and we'll have more of an opportunity to think about it and see what the potential may be. But maybe we'll get a better handle on this in the near future than we have right now. But still, the point is, we've got about 2 weeks until very high probability that the price of silver is going to become extraordinarily, certainly more volatile than it has been at any time in recent memory. It could go up dramatically. It could go down dramatically. But the market fundamentals suggest that it will go up. It'll probably be up, down, up, down, up, down, but mainly up. That'll be my guess.
And it really could continue just the way it has been, because what they're going to do is it's going to be like an auction based audible electronic system that's going to match the buying and selling orders to reach a benchmark for the price of silver. So what they're going to do is they're going to allow people to buy into it so that they can be there and doing the auctions. So if the same people are those that are still involved or have the same who have the same desire to keep prices as they once were, you might not see the volatility that is projected. And what was interesting that you brought this up just prior to the program, I was speaking to someone, and it kind of dawned on me, it's like all those contracts are going to be or should be voided. You would think
I don't know
that
what does
all
that mean?
The futures.
We could be talking about $1 trillion in silver for all I know, certainly billions. And it might be that there's $1 trillion in these derivatives, or maybe more.
There's a bunch.
These are derivatives. This is the paper silver we're talking about. We're going to take a break for some commercial announcements. I'm Alfred Addis here on Financial Survival with Melody Cederstrom. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Call Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click satellite system.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here on Financial Survival with Melody Cederstrom, and we've been talking about the end of the London Silver Fix, which will take place at the close of trading on August 14th. It is supposedly being replaced by another entity, a group, an association, a system that will go under the name of the London Silver Price. All right? And that'll kick in on August 15th. But it's not at all clear that the London Silver, it's not absolute that this London Silver Price is even going to happen. It is the proposal du jour. It seems to be, it seems likely to happen, but even that's not locked down tight as of this moment, so far as I'm able to understand. They think that's going to be the London Silver Price is going to replace the London Silver Fix. Now, the fix has been around here for over a century. I don't remember when it started. I believe it started in the 1800s. I'm not absolutely certain, but it's been here for a long time. It was a profound institution. We had it started to break apart. Deutsche Bank was part of this. Deutsche Bank resigned from the panel of, I believe it was three banks at the time that would determine the price, the London Silver Fix. Deutsche Bank resigned. There is suspicion. They postponed the resignation until the 14th. They resigned maybe a month ago, and then they postponed the resignation until the 14th of this month, or next month, August. They talk about increasing regulatory interest. They said, given increasing regulatory interest in the fixing process for both precious metals, gold and silver, coupled with potential litigations for the bank and the banks involved, it is clear for only two banks to continue fixing silver is untenable. Now, this is from Alasdair MacLeod of Gold Money. He said this in an article on Friday. Now, their argument is that they are going to end the London Silver Fix because there's only two banks left. It used to be three, but since Deutsche Bank bailed out, the other two say, well, we just can't do this on our own. That's untenable. I think that's bunk. I don't believe that it's because there's only two banks to fix the price of gold, or silver, excuse me. I don't think the London gold fix is being terminated because Deutsche Bank quit. my belief, and Melody doesn't necessarily agree with me, I believe it's certainly about civil liability or potential civil liability and possible, in my opinion, criminal liability. I read this as the bank is quitting the racket because public awareness that the London Silver Fix and the Gold Fix are rackets. They're criminal enterprises intended to rob rather than serve the general public. That's my take on it. That might not be true, but that's my opinion. That's why they're bailing. The rats are leaving a sinking ship, and nobody wants to replace. You know, they've pointed out the Deutsche Bank announced its resignation, and the panel, the three bank panel, they say, oh, gee, if one of us goes, then the whole thing that's been here for over a century has to go. Well, why not get another bank to replace Deutsche Bank? And then they're back to having three banks rather than just two. But according to the article I'm reading from, it also appears that no bank is willing to take over Deutsche Bank's seat, raising the question of why. And from my perspective, why would any bank want to assume the position of another bank now facing certainly civil liability and possible criminal liability for rigging the game? My guess is these people are bailing because of civil and or criminal liability that they see in the future. And if that's true, that civil or criminal liability that might apply to the London Silver Fix that's been here for over a century, the same allegations of market rigging, market fixing, market manipulation will be available to be laid against whatever the London silver price is, the new and improved London silver price is, that's supposedly going to supplant or replace the silver fix. That means everybody's got to be watching. That at least implies, I won't say what it means, but it at least implies that everybody up there at the top of the silver price fixing institutions has got to be very much concerned about whether or not there's going to be civil liability or criminal liability. It means they've got to be on their good behavior. They can't conspire to rig the markets in a way that anyone is likely to be able to understand. And therefore, they're going to be less able to manipulate the price of silver. Even if some manipulation continues, and I don't think we'll ever see a market that is completely free of manipulation. Somebody's always trying to outfox the system and figure a way to cut corners and manipulate the system to get rich. But there'll be some evidence of that from now until heck freezes over. All right. But in terms of an organized conspiracy, it will be less likely. And in terms of a powerful organized conspiracy, it will be less powerful. And the net result is the price of silver should begin to reflect the free market more so than the bank's manipulation. And that means fundamentals should prevail. And that means, to me, it tells me that the price of silver is about to increase significantly. And perhaps starting anytime, it could start even now as people begin to perceive this. But it may be that we'll be able to see some significant changes starting as early as the 15th through the 20th of next month, 3 weeks from now. And what's the implication? Well, although we don't know for sure what's going to happen, it's a good chance that those of you who buy silver between now and then over the course of the next 2 weeks, there's at least a high probability that you'll see a significant increase in price a month from now, 3 weeks to a month from now. I don't mean that it'll be an increase in price that's going to, you're going to be able to retire. But I'm saying it could go from $21 an ounce to $25 an ounce within the next 30 days. Is that going to happen? I don't know. But there is at least a strong probability that it could happen. And even if it doesn't happen in the next 30 days, talk about 60, talk about 90, insofar as the London Silver Fix is preparing to be eliminated, it's going to be gone in a little over 2 weeks, price of silver is going to probably start to rise somewhere around August 15th, and it could start to rise even now as people say, hey, wait a second. This is ground floor opportunity. Better jump in while while we can take advantage of the situation. So, what do you think, Melody?
I think there's, it's going to be a lot to wait and see how this all works out. Is it really a new and an improved system, or is it just another group of the same people? You know, different title, different name, take a little pressure off from the investigations into these systems. And, I truly don't believe Deutsche Bank is running because they're scared of criminal prosecution. I mean, when has there been anyone that has been taken to the courts and charged criminally on anything that they've done? They kill, they murder, they steal, they rig. And is anybody ever responsible for their actions? No. So I really don't think they're frightened of a criminal investigation into the system. There's certainly, I believe, bigger areas to which they could investigate and truly give criminal charges, but they're not going to do that. I mean, we've seen it with J.P. Morgan. Here's a fine. How much have they paid out annually in fines already? I mean, we talked about that earlier this week, where how they get to write it off.
Yeah, how they get to write it off. As a business, a cost of doing business.
Cost of doing business. So,
criminal fine, which indicates that their business is criminal in nature.
I think
fines is the cost of doing business. It's absurd.
I think if anything, I think it is deeper. If there is a question as far as the impact of the contracts, I think that could be your this gives these, if there is a question on how these contracts and are going to be valued and priced, if there's questions, perhaps this is a way where they're able to unwind a large amount of contracts without loss of major funds. And
if they don't agree, if both parties, and both parties have to agree that they're going to, that the price will be determined by the London price, the London silver price, rather than the London silver fix. Both parties to each one of these derivatives, silver derivatives, have to agree to that change. If they don't, to me, it's like having a contract that was negotiated in Confederate money during the Civil War, while the South was still in power and a viable political entity. What is the value of a contract negotiated in Confederate money the day after General Lee surrenders at Appomattox? I believe it was Appomattox. And the South ceased to exist. Now what's the value of those contracts? The two parties to the contract, if I was buying horses from you or a carriage or something like that, we might still go ahead with the contract. And I say, I still want to buy the horses, but you're going to say, but you're not paying me with worthless Confederate money anymore. You want the horses, Al. You gotta come up with dollars, Yankee dollars. No more Confederate money. What if I don't have Yankee dollars? We are coming on a moment of potential chaos. And it's hard to say how this is going to unfold. But all of this chaos is going to apply to paper silver. Right? The shorts, the longs, the derivatives, they're all paper. They're not real silver. And no telling what's going to happen to these paper documents. But these paper investments, they could turn out to be worthless. But if you have physical silver in hand, you're not going to be directly affected by these changes. And almost certainly, if we do see chaos in paper land, we're going to see people flocking to physical land. All right? And they're going to say, give me some of that solid silver. I don't want any more of this paper stuff. I want solid. I want tangible. I want physical. And when they get that, that demand should push the price higher. So again, the implication, not a guarantee, not God's word, my opinion on it, is now is a very good time to invest in physical silver. And more, the article that I was reading from, at least in part, the headline is, "As London's silver benchmark to end, gold may be next," pointing out that the gold price fix is probably going to also be terminated. And if and when that happens, my reading is, my prediction is that we're going to see the price of gold become certainly more volatile and probably subject to fundamentals more directly and probably rise dramatically. I have no idea when they think the gold fix might be terminated, but if the silver fix goes down this August, and depending on what happens, we might see that gold fix disappear within how soon, Melody? 90 days? 180? What do you think?
I would think so. I would think probably in about 6 months you'll probably see a change. And if the CME group and Reuters are able to handle this and it goes smoothly, they'll probably be the same ones who, it's a strong likelihood that they'll also have the gold fixing side of it too.
Well, the one thing I look at on this, it's not impossible that if it turns out that this creates some sort of an emergency, it's perceived an economic as an economic emergency, and no private entity is providing a reliable and authoritative silver price fix, all right? Or, you know, if no one is establishing, what's the chance that the government might step in and say, we're going to say what the price of silver is? What's the chances that the government could step in and say, we are going to set, in the midst of this volatility, we are going to say what the price of gold will be? And what kind of price do you suppose they'd propose? Would it be low or would it be high? If government steps in, they can't fight the free market. They have to know that. If the government steps in, I think they've got to give gold at least $5,000 an ounce.
And you know what? Murray writes in and he says, why do we need a silver fix? Why can't the market determine price? Obviously, silver fix implies manipulation by mm-hmm. its very nature. So why would we want to give any organization that kind of price fixing power? And it's
so they can engage in these derivatives and bid on products into the future and thereby influence and control the market. Not just the price of derivatives, but the market itself is being influenced by this. We don't want it, but people in a position to make big bucks on Wall Street or in the commodities market, they do. This is a convenience for them that allows them to get rich in a dishonest way. We're out of time. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom, and we will talk more about the silver fix and the gold fix as information becomes available. But you folks need to recognize big things are in the wind and just a couple weeks away. Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
All night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay.
Ain't it sad?
And still, there never seems to be a single penny